Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast. I'm coming to you from the Lighthouse, and when I first got over here this evening, it's a Tuesday evening, and I thought I'd see if I get a early start on the message I want to share for Sunday, and so I came over a little early, about 5 o'clock on Tuesday, and to my surprise, there was a big bass boat going back and forth across the lake. Now he's gone in, so I think he must have wanted to have one more run at it. It looked sort of strange. So, of course, there's no ice on the lake, so he was doing what he wanted to do, and that's very special. You tuned me in this morning by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You tuned me in this morning by the way of WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and also a 100.3 over in the low Ada area. And I welcome all of those of you from that Ionia station. And others tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both the Greenville station and the Ionia station. We're streaming by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com. I welcome you. Others are listening by the way of my website, which is PastorKenHarger.com. Then you go to Messages from the Lighthouse, bring your mouse up over that thought that's that they're heading, and it'll show Current Media. Go to Current Media, and you'll see the broadcast for today. So whatever way you joined me this morning, I'm just glad to have you be a part of this message just after Thanksgiving Day. And I trust you all had a good Thanksgiving and God's blessing upon your life and maybe some time that you got to share with your family. That's what I'm hoping is going to happen to us, and we'll have a special time together. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of the broadcast. So a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area. A thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belding area. To Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from the Orleans area. To Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and she's from the Greenville area. And to Marie Rivard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee at this time. Well, God's blessing be upon all of those that help with the financial covering of the broadcast. Big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting our music for today. And I always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. That's where I pastored for 50 years, and still attend there, and we really like to push the church. So Saturday evening at Shiloh, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, and there's a contemporary service at 10:45. And the Greenville campus at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and LaRae Street, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Now, I need to remind you, and this I'll try to do this again next week, but we need to be remembered today, because next Sunday, December the 8th, we will be December the 8th, we will be having one service at Shiloh, because that's when we're having our live nativity out to the campground. So we're going to have one service at 10 o'clock at Shiloh Community Church, and then Saturday evening, and Sunday evening, there's a live nativity, and they've been working hard on that. And that live nativity is going to be horses there to give you a horse and buggy ride or wagon ride through the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus. I give you an invitation to come and join that, because that'll be a very special time together. Well, that takes care of all those kinds of things that I think I need to take care of. So our message for this morning is Christmas in December, because of the baby Jesus, a new song about a future and about hope. A new song Jesus brings from heaven's glory about a future and a new hope that we have in him. And so we'll be listening to that message in just a few moments, but I got a song that we will listen to first. And this song is a song that's been around for a long time. It's a song that many people have heard many different times, but it's reminding us that Christmas is something that comes every year. This old, old story that never grows old. God bless you.
As we celebrate the season, sometimes we lose the joy or forget the reason why. But holding the foundation of our earthly celebration is the story of a king who came to die. It still warms the heart to know that he will leave his glory to become the greatest story. Salvation brings. It's a story that never grows old. When we look back on the memories of Christmas, so many past traditions that we used to know are gone, but the story of the Savior is as real today as ever, and throughout eternity it shall live on. Oh, it shall live on.
It's a story that never grows old. And it is, folks. It's a story for you and I as we understand that this baby Jesus was born. We're going to talk about that some near the end of our service, but the first part of the service, I want to spend just a moment of the part of the message time together, of reminding ourselves of Thanksgiving that was just a few days ago. And the greatest reason for any one of us to have a thankful heart is that greatest story that was ever told, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was a baby born in the manger. We'll be talking about that through the month of December. But right now, I'd like to have a word of prayer and asking God's blessing, His special blessing, to be upon each one of you, the listening audience. Those that's tuned me in this morning, I appreciate that very much. I'm just sitting here in front of this microphone and looking at the lake as it begins to get a little darker and realizing, you know, I don't see anybody listening to me, but I do know many of you tell me that you listen, and I appreciate that so much. So I got some of your faces in my mind, the realization that you've got your ears on this morning. So let's just have a word of prayer. Dear Father, once again I come to you on behalf of the listening audience. I ask, oh Father, as this message goes out into the different homes or the cars or maybe even a hunting shack or whatever's going on today, I just pray that you would bless this message and cause it, Father, to accomplish the purpose that you send it out for. But greater than that, Father, I want you to bless each person within the listening audience and whatever is needed in their life. I'm remembering them as my congregation this morning and asking that you would minister to their physical needs, to their spiritual needs, to their emotional needs, their financial needs. Whatever the need is, Father, would you meet them at the point of their need and give them the courage and the strength or whatever else they need to be able to go on and to trust in you. And dear Father, come and honor your word this morning, I pray in that wonderful name of Jesus, and for his sake, amen. What a privilege it is for me, folks, to share with you from week to week. And, you know, with Thanksgiving 2019 is history, but I want to keep that phrase, that thought of thanks and praise to the Lord throughout this time as I share the first part of this message for this reason. The Bible has much to say about singing, and it speaks of a new song. Today, I'll use as a foundation for our study together for this week the realization that there's some verses from the Psalm, which was a hymn book of the Jewish people back in the early days of life. And it sounds like this: shout for joy to the Lord, O ye righteous. Praise benefits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with a melody, making a melody to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and his work is done in faithfulness. Again, in Psalm 40 that we looked at last week, I wait patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear to me. He heard my cry. He drew me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Now listen to what he says. He put a new song in my mouth. It's a song of praise to our God. Many shall fear it and put their trust in the Lord. And one more, again in Psalm 42:8. By the day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to, oh my God, for my gift of life. God's reminding us that's a good thing. It's beneficial for you. And I think it warms the heart of God when we are thankful people. And just coming off from Thanksgiving, we don't want it just to be at that period of time. So this year I thought I want to spend a little more time in this little period of time there is between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Now I realize those of you that's lost a loved one in 2019, this has been a very difficult Thanksgiving for you. I just remind other people that when you lose a loved one all through that entire year, it doesn't say it's going to get better after the first year, but the first year is so very difficult for the first Christmas, the first Thanksgiving, the first New Year, the first time that they're gone since their birthday, that their birthday time comes, if they were married, their anniversary time, some special vacations you used to take and this year you didn't get to do it. And my heart goes out to you because, you know, these holidays come. And sometimes we just kind of get used to them, realizing that, hey, this idea of the Christmas story is a beautiful thing. And I love everything about the Christmas. I love my manger scene that we hope will be up after as I speak to you this morning, because I told my grandkids I wanted to see if we could get it up on Thanksgiving afternoon. But you know something? I love the music. I love all of those things that make Christmas very special. But at 84 years old, you know what? There's been 84 Christmases. And you know what? They changed so much. I can think of the Christmases when I was a kid. There wasn't much presents or anything like that. Then I think of the Christmases when my wife and I were first married, and the Christmases as we had children, and the joy of all those kinds of things, the blessing of getting gifts and letting them open them and all that kind of stuff. There's been many, many changes throughout the years. And you know, this year, my wife and I had decided when we was in Florida last year that it was our last year to go to Florida. So this year when we come to Christmas, it's a little different for us too, because when we come to Christmas, say, now we only got to make it through January, then we're heading to Florida the last part of January. But this year we're going to stick it out here in Michigan with the rest of you and look forward to God giving us the comfort and strength. So why do I share all of that? Let's think about why sing to the Lord. Why is it so important to praise Him? Why is it so important? Because of His benefits, yes. Because He's upright. You and I are to make a melody to in our heart to Him. We're to sing this new song He's put in my mouth. It's a song of praise to God. Six times in the Psalms, this song is spoken of as a new song. The message of this song is the idea that we're praising God. And one of the reasons for it, as he talks about, is because he's inclined his ear to me. He listens to me, and he's lifted me out of the pit, and he's given me some secure place to walk upon, and all of this. But I love the thought that he gives a song in the night. We've all been there if we live very long. Nighttime is one of the most difficult parts of time. Because, you know, if you fall right to sleep and sleep all night, that's one thing. But if you wake up and you have to get up and your mind is rushing on hundreds of things, you know, God is saying, I've got a song for you at night. And the song that he's saying that he has for us is just a realization that we need to take some time and just praise him. And give him thanks. You know, this new song that we're talking about, it's a song about hope and a song about future. But when you and I have gone through some difficulties in our life, sometimes it's very hard to think about the future. There's a portion of scripture that we need to understand that God reminds us is that this song of praise has been composed by God himself. I want us to consider, when we think of Christmas, which I believe is a song of praise that God says is going to give us new hope. I think it's a song, a new song to tell us, I want you to know you got a future. You see, the first stanza we would read something like this when it comes to Christmas. What's the reason behind this Christmas? That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son, Jesus, into the world to condemn it, to condemn the world, but he sent Jesus into the world that we might be saved through him, that we might understand God's tremendous love. I believe the second stanza of the song regarding Christmas could go like this. Jesus, who through, even though he was in the form of God, he did not he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped a hold of, but he just made himself nothing, taking upon himself the servant, being born in the likeness of man, even a little baby in a manger, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, and he became obedient, even to the point of death. And dear people, even death on a cross. That's from Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 8. I believe the third stanza of the song would go something like this. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God saying, you know what? I love you so much that I didn't spare my son. I shared him with you. The third stanza also might say something like this from the point of Jesus. Greater love has no man than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends, and that he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many did receive him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God. And those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but they were born of God. You see, Christmas is God's idea. Let me say that again. Christmas is God's idea. And he wants us to know that it is his idea and what he has done for each one of us. You know, that little baby Jesus in the manger is reminding us just how much God loves us, that he was willing to trust into the human element, this baby Jesus. Have you noticed that some songs, when you hear them, they become your song? You know, when I do funerals, they'll often say to me, that when I ask, is there any songs in the service? They'll say, well, he had his favorite songs. And sometimes they're totally different music than I like. They say, would that be okay? And, you know, I would say something like this, you know, whenever I announce the songs that the person wants to play at his or her funeral, I don't have to okay the song because I announce them saying, it's his song or her song. This is a song that they enjoy. This is a song that was a very special song to them. And, you know, I've got called a few times. I remember one time they said he had a favorite song, and I said, well, I'll just announce it. And so I said, I'll just announce it as his favorite song, one of his favorite songs. You know what the song was? When I Die, Put a Quarter in the Jukebox. Prop me up by the jukebox and put a quarter in the jukebox. Well, kind of embarrassing a little bit, you know. Another song that they asked one time, and I announced it as his song, and I said, I did it my way. I did it my way. Well, that's very true. But you know what? I've noticed some songs become a part of us. Some songs become a part of our life. It's the song that is a melody that Jesus, God's word, spoke about, that we can sing unto the Lord. I have many favorite church songs, you know, that I enjoy and that are a big part of my life. One of my favorite ones is the wonderful words of God. Share with me the wonderful words of God. But you know what? This song about Christmas, God wants it to become your song. But more than that, he wants it to become a part of you in a personal way. I told you before, I love the music. But there's songs of Christmas that become a part of me in a personal way. I really love the song, Silent Night, Holy Night. It's a part. It's become a part of my life. What a special blessing that was in Bethlehem. I love the song, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. When those songs become a part of you and you become a part of the song, That's a tremendous thing that comes out of our lives because it's a part of our personal way of living. I want to illustrate it this way from the Word of God. A very religious man recorded in the book of Philippians, if anyone else has reason to give, to think he has confidence in the flesh, this religious man, Paul, said, I the more. Listen, he says now, my religious pedigree, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. I was a tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Concerning the righteousness which is of the law, I was blameless. But he found out that something was missing in his life. And one day he was on the road to Damascus with authority letters to let him put Christians in prison and maybe even some to death. And you know what happened? He became a Christian himself. I got to tell you, folks, I love to listen to his song. A part of Jesus became a part of him. And that's something very special. Listen to what he says as he sings his song back to the Lord. But what things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. There's a lot of gain to me in this religious world that I was living in, but I count them loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, in whom I have suffered the loss of these things. I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and that I may be found in him. Now listen to what he says. Not having my own righteousness, which is after the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And then he goes on this way, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. I love how this song of the Christmas of the first Christmas of Jesus coming, how that praise became a part of this religious man's life and gave him something that he didn't have before. That was such a blessing. You know what? He went on to be used of God in many ways. And when I think of the Apostle Paul, I think of one verse that I believe really describes who he is. When it's in the book of Galatians, when it says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's gained eternal life. For me to live day by day is Christ. That's what God wants this Christmas message to become a part of our life in such a way that it reveals our tremendous love and care that he has for us. You know, that all causes us to only do one thing, I believe. And I'm just going to take a little break for my voice. But you know, the one thing that I think should come out of that, and when this song starts, there's no lead on it. It's just going to start out, glory to God. I'm warning you ahead of time. It's starting out, glory to God. Because this is the message that comes about when we realize what God has done for each
other. Glory to God in the highest. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. 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 Glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. For unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord.
Unto you is born this day
a Savior who is Christ the Lord.
A Savior who is Christ the Lord.
Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God.
Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God, glory to God.
Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in the highest.
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 Glory to God
in the highest.
Glory to God
in the highest.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in the highest.
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 Glory to God.
Well, I don't, that's not fair to you, but I got to tell you, that's pretty special when you think about that. Glory to God in the highest will be a part of your thinking today. You know, the realization that God has done so much for each one of us and that we need to give glory to him. I've came across this story that I really enjoyed and I want to pass it on to you. It's talking about giving to God and how the glory comes to you as an individual because of why you do it. Years ago, there was a custom for people to bring their gifts to the front of the church building. A preacher was making an appeal for the people to give for a good cause. Many came to present their offerings of love. Among them was a little crippled girl who hobbled along the end of the line, pulling a ring from her finger. She placed it on the table and made her way back down the aisle. After the service, the ushers were sent to bring her to the preacher's study. The preacher said, "My dear, I saw what you did, and it was beautiful." But the response of the people has been so generous that we have enough to take care of the need. We don't feel it's right about keeping your treasured ring, so we've decided to give it back to you. To his surprise, the little girl vigorously shook her head in refusal. "You don't understand," she said. "I didn't give the ring to you. I gave the ring to God." Oh, I love that. I gave the ring to God. We need to give glory to God for what he has done for each one of us. In this beautiful song that he wants to put into each one of our hearts, that this one Jesus was born to bring about salvation into our lives, and we need to be grateful to him. Not only is it a song that is composed by God the Father and his Son Jesus, this Christmas song, but it is also a part of your personal life. And then you know what we should want to do? Sing that song of our praise individually and our thanks individually back to God. And I got to tell you this, folks. One of the reasons we should praise God is it brings pleasure to God. It brings pleasure to God when we are grateful for him. Remember last week there was 10 healed and only one returned to give thanks. I believe from everything I can hear from what Jesus says, were there not 10 healed? Where are the 9? I think that shows me disappointment. And I see the pleasure when he says to that one whom you wouldn't even expect it would return to give thanks. Stopped and came back to give thanks and praise and glory to God. He said to him, "Bless you, your faith has made you whole." Not only did he have the forgiveness, I mean the healing of the leprosy, but he had so much more. The praise and thanks are a vital part of our life surrender to God. It gives credit where credit is due. The book of Psalms is the praise book of the Bible, and it gives us hundreds of reasons why we should praise God, because it's so important, as well as examples how we can praise God. Let me just give you a couple of three of those, such as, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. That's what we do. We're singing of the mercies of the Lord forever. And we're letting others know that his faithfulness is forever. Listen to this next one. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. It's like it's a plea. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. I like this one here too. I will highly praise you, my God, the King. I will bless your name forever and ever. I will bless you every day. I'll praise your name forever and ever. Not just Thanksgiving time, any time, every day. The Lord is a great and he should be highly praised. His greatness, listen, his greatness is unsearchable. God blessed me when I was young, in my 20s. God blessed me through my 30s, my 40s, my 50s, my 60s, my 70s. And here I am now in my 80s, and God blessing me. God is so good. And it's his blessing is unsearchable. When I pause and just consider, I have so many ways where I can see God's faithfulness. And that just gives me the assurance he's going to be faithful all the way. Praise is a wonderful exercise because it turns our hearts back to God and keeps us mindful of how much we have received from him and how much we owe him. But not so much more than that it gives great pleasure to God when we praise him. I love this thought from Psalm 147. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. It's something that brings pleasure to Jesus, to God. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving and make melody in your heart to God. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, those who hope in his steadfast love. God is reminding us. We bring a smile to God's face when we pause and give thanks. And especially when we pause and give thanks to God that he loved us so much that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. And that Jesus loved us so much he was willing to leave heaven and all the glory that he had with the Father and to be born a baby in a manger in the little town of Bethlehem. He gives this challenge in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God. But do not forget to do good and to share with those. Such sacrifices to God is well-pleasing. It gives pleasure to God when we continue to offer him our praise and our thanks. And when he takes pleasure in what, when we take pleasure in what he does, it gives him great pleasure. See, when you reach out to somebody else, it gives God pleasure because he reached out to you. Now, that's what the Christmas message is all about. That's what the Christmas message is trying to teach each one of us that can be a part of our life. On Thanksgiving Day, I have this one. I just shared this on my Facebook. And you know, it's one of my favorite things when I think about Thanksgiving and what it can mean to us. But also the idea of thanks that God had this in his word. The Hebrew people in days gone by, the Jewish people, would sing this to the Lord. And without even realizing that as they were singing that to the Lord, it was bringing about so many other blessings from their life that was very beneficial. And this is what it says in Psalm number 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. I love that. Going to serve the Lord? He says, then do it with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Enter into God's gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. For the Lord His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generation. You know, God's reminding us, folks. He's reminding us that we need to understand that He has so much to offer us. So this year, as I share the Christmas message, through these next weeks as we come to Christmas, 3 weeks we'll be talking about this baby Jesus that was born. I know this Christmas story is old, old story. A couple of my neighbors, three of my neighbors already have lights up. I haven't got that far. My wife was thinking she wanted Christmas to come a little early, so one day when our daughter was there and our granddaughter, they carried down the Christmas tree. She said that after Thanksgiving, we're going to turn the lights on. She may even turn them on before then. The tree hasn't been decorated, but it's one of those trees that have lights scattered all over it. It's beautiful. You know, when I think about that, I think about the fun we had as a family. When it come time for Christmas time, we always use the real tree. We go out into the farm that would have you be able to cut your own. I remember one time when I was a kid growing up, Mom set us back on the farm that we were renting. We only rented the house, and I never even thought about that, you know. But Mom says there's a lot of Christmas trees back there. There's a lot of pine trees back there. Go pick out one for Christmas. So we went back, and we were looking for a tree. And we couldn't find anything that we thought was really nice. So you know something? We looked at a big pine tree that was there. I mean, to us kids, it was big. Probably 30 feet high, 25 feet high. We climbed a tree. Look at the top of that, we said. The top of that is a beautiful tree. It's one that we didn't get killed. We climbed the top of that tree with our buck saw. And we sawed the top of the tree off. And boom, down it came. We dragged it home. Took all we could do to drag it home. When we got home, Mom said, it's too tall for the house. We had to cut about 2.5-3 feet off of it in order to get it in the house. What a beautiful tree it was. You know, in those days, you didn't have lights. You know, you decorated with popcorn on a string. Some of those kinds of things that we did. And you know, it was kind of exciting. Excepting one thing. When the farmer who we rented the house from saw that the top of that beautiful tree in his back part of his farm was missing, he wasn't too happy. I got to tell you, it wasn't too long after that that we were asked to move. You know, but that's a good memory for me to hang on to. When we was raising our kids, we'd go out into the woods, or we'd go out into the tree farms that would let you cut your own. Took us quite a while to pick out just exactly the most beautiful tree. One time as we had a cabin up north, and so I'm just reminiscing a little bit about Christmas. You know, one time we had the cabin up north, and we decided we was going to go up there for the next day after Christmas. And so we went up a little earlier, my wife and I did, and we got a tree. It wasn't the best-looking tree. It was like, you know, a tree that's just a tree. We decorated with popcorn on a string and little red berries and so on. And so it was very pretty. And our kids can still remember what a special time that was. Why am I sharing all this thought? Because this thing called Christmas is a beautiful thing for us. and we need to know it. I love the way it started, because there's a verse that I'm going to use as the foundation for Christmas this year. It's a verse back in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, 11 through 13. Listen to what it says. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." What we want to talk about these next few weeks about Christmas is that God sharing his thoughts towards us. You know, that verse given to the book of people of Jeremiah's day, it was a time that when Jeremiah and the nation of Israel was going through a very difficult time in their lives. They were very weary without any hope because they were in captivity. They'd been in captivity a long time. They're going to be in captivity for 70 years. And there were so many changes. But God told them this captivity will not be forever. I'm going to rescue you and give you this promise that you're going to be, things are going to be so much different. We need to know that when there is no hope, it's hard to think about things getting better. A lot of differences, how differently we respond when there is hope and the difficulty we're facing. But they were without hope. The response is so much different. It causes our energy to be depleted. It causes us to become very weary people. We need to know that between the books of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, and the first book of the New Testament, which is Matthew, a period of time of 400 years passed in that holy land, for which there was no prophetical statements. There was no message from God. It was 400 years that went by during that period of time. You know, if you're thinking of generation being 80 years, around 80 years, that was five generations. And there was no message from God. And it blows my mind when I think of all the changes that's taken place in my life, in the 84 years of my life. So many changes that I could talk about. And yet, that was 400 years. There was no message from God. We were passing down from one generation to the next. That was the world that this baby Jesus that I've been talking about was going to be born into. I believe that 400 years of silence between the last book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New Testament, I believe that caused people to be very weary. There was no hope. They had promise of a Messiah coming. It had been given many places, and that was a part of their thinking, that one day God's going to send a Messiah and things are going to be a lot different. Then all of a sudden a baby comes. That wasn't fitting into their thinking and their process that they had. So we need to realize the mindset of the time Jesus' birth was a lot like the mindset was in the days of Israel and days gone by when God gave that promise. I have some good thoughts towards you. And those thoughts are about hope. Those thoughts are about your future. Jesus is coming into the world is our promise. The promise he made to those in his day. And the promise he makes to you and I today is that this baby Jesus is coming one of these days. And when this baby Jesus comes, is what it was, our message was to those people at the time of the birth of Jesus. When this baby Jesus comes, everything's going to be changed. There's going to be hope. You're going to think about the future. And that's what sometimes is what's lost. And I want this year that to be the message that we hang on to, is the hope that is ours in this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was born into this world to become your Savior and mine. You know, prior to his birth, there's a lot of things around the Christmas story that I'll be sharing in the next 3 weeks. Is the realization. It's like the decoration for Christmas. There's people's lives that were changed in order that this baby Jesus could be born. And God was going to use people. And when those people would practice obedience, then this one Jesus would be able to be born. You know all the people that's in the, just to give you a little idea what we'll be talking about, the people that around surround the birth of Jesus is Mary. And then there's Joseph. Then there's the shepherds. There's the wise men. There's King Herod and his anger. There's a little town of Bethlehem, not the big city, a religious city, so to speak, of Jerusalem. But one that sticks out to me that I wanted to use as I close the service today is Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. I love it that Mary was told she was to be the mother of Jesus, and she went to visit Elizabeth, who was also pregnant with a baby that they was going to call John, who was going to be the forerunner of Jesus. And she goes to spend some time with her. And as she gets there, in those days it says Mary rose up and went with haste to the hill country, to the town of Judea. And she entered into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, the baby John within her womb leaped. And Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. She was filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And she said these things. She said, "The baby leaped in my womb. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to see me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came into my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." She leaped for joy. He leaped for joy. "And blessed is he who believes that this would be fulfilled." You know what? John the Baptist was the very first person that responded to the truth that Jesus was going to be born. And he was unborn himself. That's pretty powerful, folks. That's powerful for us to realize that this message of God is something special for each one of us. Time for me to be going on my way, and you to be going on your way, whatever you're going to do the rest of the day. So I have a song I want us to listen to in closing. And this song is simply titled, "He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords." God bless you. I'm looking forward to sharing the Christmas message with you. Bye-bye.
Lord of Lords. His glory. Alleluia, King of kings and Lord of lords, glory. Alleluia, King of kings and Lord of lords, glory. Alleluia, King of sons and daughters of His glory. Alleluia, King of sons and daughters of His glory. Alleluia.